Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of The Stage Place with me, your host, Elliot Shepherd. In this week's episode, we're going to be chatting to Tiffany Winters, who is a drama teacher around Gloucestershire. I had a really fun time chatting to her a couple of weeks ago, and I really hope that you engage with the conversations that we are about to embark in, as I find that they're really useful and insightful. So, let's get on with the show. Embarking on her second year of teaching, today's guest is a full-time drama teacher in Gloucestershire. Working with 11 to 18 year olds in schools means there's never a dull day, and she spends her days motivating and inspiring the future performers, designers, writers and managers. With a background in youth work, challenging young people is her area, to which she has plenty of stories to brighten any day, and having just finished the latest production of Mary Poppins Jr., she is enjoying every minute of teaching life. Tiffany Winters, welcome to The Stagey Place.
Hello.
Thanks for coming along, Tiff.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no worries. Thank you so much for coming on. Now, obviously, we'd want to do The Stagey Place face-to-face, but due to the current epidemic climate of coronavirus, we're having to do this over Skype. How are you feeling being isolated at home? Obviously, you're a teacher, so you get to go in every now and again, but how are you feeling creatively?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Obviously, as a teacher, I am classed as a key worker, so I'm still going into school one day a week at the moment to still deliver practical drama sessions to the children of key workers. So that's one thing that's really positive still. Obviously, I'm trying to get on board with all these free live streamings as well, which I think is really, really cool to keep that theatre stuff alive. So I'm going to start working my way through some of those when I'm not at school.
Yeah, of course. Have you got any mind that you're really looking forward to watching?
I really want to watch Wind in the Willows.
Oh, it's brilliant. Honestly, trust me, Tiff. I went to go and see it a couple of years ago at the Palladium in like 2017, I think it was. It's a cracking show. There's some great characters and the songs, honestly, some of them are just so good.
Oh, fab. That's definitely on my list.
Yeah, I think Wind in the Willows is great, but obviously you've got National Theatre Live and Original Theatre and Digital Theatre, and then the Barn Theatre are doing their live streaming service. There's so much going on, and I think it's a real joyous time. So obviously as a teacher, going into schools a couple of days a week for the children of key workers, how has that been? Because obviously you've had year 11s and 13s out of school as well.
It's a really hard situation, and last week when we were still in, trying to have some sense of normality when we had hundreds of kids that were off self-isolating, it was hard to kind of keep that going. But it was getting to a point where are we going to be protected from all of this? And I do think it's a good idea what they've done, keeping schools open for key workers' children, and that we're all sort of doing our bit. But there is obviously that worrying concern that we can still get it, because obviously those key workers are working in hospitals, they're coming home to their kids, who are then the kids are coming into school. So there is that. But I'm perfectly healthy at the moment, so touch wood, I stay that way, staying away when I'm not supposed to be working. So I'm only going in on the day that I have to, which is once a week. So it's not that bad, but I just hope it's over soon, because the impact obviously on the GCSEs and the A-levels has been huge. And obviously the ramifications of, you know, the current year 10 and year 12, that they're going to miss half a year of their courses. So it's all a bit up in the air. So there's that bit of uncertainty. But as long as everyone's safe, that's the main thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, doing online classes through Zoom and, you know, other forms of social media and educational packs going out, I think it's been a really, you know, worthwhile and positive thing in the educational sector. And, you know, in our industry, we've got performers doing, you know, live concerts in their rooms and all this streaming going on. I think it's really brought us all together as a team.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is when technology is a good thing, that we can all, like we're doing this right now, which is very bizarre, sat in my living room. But I think this is when technology can come into its own and we can all stay connected. And I think what everyone is trying to do, and I know there's things as teachers that we're really grateful for, that things have become available for free so we can direct some of our older students to theatre online, which is good because obviously we can't take them. Obviously I'm gutted because I love going. Luckily I haven't had any tickets that I've had to be refunded as of yet. I've got a few things booked in later on in the year, which I'm hoping will be okay.
Bong, 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 bong. It's time for the first question.
So Tiff, would we say it's from a young age that you first found out about theatre and the performing arts industry?
Yeah, definitely a young age. So I have a very vivid memory of when I was 5 years old, and I was in the living room, and it was a Saturday morning, and I was running around. I don't really know what we were doing, but me and my siblings were prancing about in the living room as we did on a Saturday morning. And my dad pulled me over and he said, "Oh, would you like to go to some drama classes, Tiff?" And I was like, "Oh my God, yes." So I signed up to a local drama group in Gloucester and sort of started from that. And then it literally just sprung from there. And then that literally was it. Without sounding too cliche, but yeah, from 5 years old. My first performance was when I was seven, and it just kind of went on from there, really.
And did you get to do the nativity when you were a little child?
I don't really remember doing nativities. I remember having like tinsel wrapped around my head, some kind of Christmas theme. I don't think it was a nativity, but I was never Mary. But I definitely had tinsel around my head, and there's child videos of me like belting out some kind of songs at the school shows and stuff. But I was never sort of the main person, which is quite funny.
Yeah.
But I used to love it all. In the drama group I started when I was 5 or 6, I stayed with them until I was about 14. So,
okay, great.
I was invested in them in quite a while.
And so did you leave that group because that was the end of the age limit, or did you just fall out a little bit of love with theatre at the time?
It wasn't that I fell out with it. It was more, you know, I was 14. I was giving up, you know, my weekends and my evenings. I was just, you know, not that I was cool or anything, but
yeah.
starting to want to spend time with friends and things. I'd kind of run my course with that particular place, and obviously I was going to start my GCSEs, and obviously I'd picked to do drama GCSE. So yeah, I just came to a natural end of doing it externally, and then channeled it for the into doing my GCSE course in year 10.
And when you took the GCSE course, were you taking it seriously? Like, did you know that you wanted to have a career within the industry, whether or not that was on or off stage at this point?
Oh yeah, I mean that was always the plan. And since starting that drama class that I did before my GCSE, it was always like, yeah, drama's the way forward. Do GCSE, do my levels, do my degree, do my PGCE, and go that way. Because I never wanted to be an actual actress. That was never really, well, obviously it's your pipe dream, isn't it? Sort of, you know, I'd love to be Elphaba in the West End. I mean, who hasn't got that goal? but I'm not... It's not that I'm not competitive, but I don't have the drive in me to do it for that. I wanted to teach instead, and that was always the plan.
And was there ever a moment as a young child in which you saw something at the theatre that made you kind of gasp and left a lasting memory for you? Whether or not that was through, you know, just the casual visit or through the youth theatre or education?
That's hard. I remember, well, the first show I ever saw was Annie at the Chatham Everyman.
Yeah.
When I was 9. And I remember it. And I remember Ruth Maddock was Miss Hannigan. And I got my ticket signed.
Ah.
And yeah, my dad took me. And I remember watching that being like, oh my God. I mean, that's just everything.
Yeah.
And obviously I go and see shows. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to be on stage. I'd love to do that. I love the feel I get, and I want to get people to that level and just be on the other side of it. But yeah, but I've seen some amazing things, but I think the first, yeah, Annie, when I was 9, was up there with one of my favourites.
Settle down, children, it's time for class.
So Tiff, I know a lot of people who have gone into teaching through a PGCE and have gone into primary, whereas you've gone into secondary teaching. Obviously, you've done a little bit of youth work here and there. So was that a reason behind wanting to go into the higher education?
Oh, yeah. Dealing with stroppy teenagers is my life goal, to be
honest.
Yep. No, I think, obviously, teaching was all I wanted to do. I did have a bit of a hiatus from that dream for a couple of years and did youth work. and doing youth work, working with 16, 17 year olds, I realised that was sort of more my area. I'd get more on a level with them. And primary school, for me, I can't cope with the neediness. I can't cope with snotty bogeys being wiped on my leg.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. That's not me at all. I'd rather deal with the teenage sass, for want of a better word.
Yeah, of course. And obviously we should mention that through the youth work employment that we did, that's obviously where we met, you know, about 3-4 years ago. And I do get what you mean about being with those 16 to 17 year olds. There is more of a banter side of things rather than having to strictly be like a teacher student. Obviously, youth work is a little bit different where you've got activities instead of classrooms and lecture halls. But, you know, you have that closer bond, I think, with people who are just that little bit more mature.
Yeah, I think I very much like the banter side with the older students. And I'm very sarcastic. I'm quite dry. And I think the older kids just get that.
Yeah.
And it definitely makes it easier. And I think with the youth work stuff, you're a happy medium between the two. You weren't the teacher and you weren't the parents. So you kind of had that nice middle ground.
Yeah.
I like to think that I've adopted some of that into teaching anyway, and still have that level because I had I did have a year 13 tutor group until obviously they all left on Friday. So obviously they won't be coming back, but those sort of year 13s, I sort of see them, you know, they're 17, 18 and we just got on. Obviously there's a 10-year, which is terrifying, a 10-year age gap between us, but I think I'm just more on their level. I want to enjoy my job, and I think secondary school is the way forward. And obviously the youngest I teach is 11, and even some in year 7s, they've got that sense of humour and they like that banter, and I think I just get a bit more mutual respect from them, which makes my job easier as a teacher. So, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously you've just mentioned there about your year 13 tutor group having to leave only recently. Did you feel like that was coming? Because obviously with the news developing every day, with new rules put in place, were you able to kind of anticipate that closure of school and say goodbye to your tutor group at the same time?
No, it was just so weird because everything is changing so quickly, and within like 24 hours so much is happening. Like at one point I thought, we're never going to close. I thought, yeah, we'll just ride this out, it'll be fine, you know, a couple of weeks. And then as it was going on, you're like and then obviously we all sat and watched the announcement on the Wednesday. Yeah. And we're like, oh god. And then for year 13, I just didn't really know what to say to them, because you know they've worked for a year and a half, it's the last couple of months, it's all sort of come to an abrupt end. And I've only been with them since January, because obviously I started my new teaching job, so it's not been that long, but it's been long enough to get to know them a bit. Like with the youth work, you had 4 weeks where you sort of got to know them quite quickly.
Yeah.
And that's something I've managed to carry on, is building those relationships with young people quite quickly. And yeah, but we're going to have prom, so that's been postponed until September, so I will see them again.
Oh great.
That would be nice. Yeah.
So looking back on your youth work then, what kind of skills did you bring forward to your teaching that you think were very valuable?
Obviously the biggest one is relationships with young people. Once you've got kids on side, you can pretty much get them to do anything. And like you said, it's that mutual respect. And I'll treat them as young adults. I think with youth work, it was never like, oh yeah, they're children, they're young people. And I've still adopted that attitude. And I think just knowing what's best for them. Obviously the youth work stuff was quite different. It was in the summer holidays. It was a bit more relaxed. It was doing, really fun outdoor activities and stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously moving into teaching is more rigorous, and you've got your expectations of what you need to achieve, and you've got to obviously get their GCSEs, their A-levels, their grades, whatever. But I think definitely bringing over the relationships, I think the perseverance and resilience to deal with them, because obviously now I'm dealing with it day in, day out, whereas with youth work, it was kind of you had them for 4 weeks and they went,
yeah,
this is now right, I've got to put up with them for a year, another year, then another year. But actually that's quite nice, because one thing that I was quite sad about when I left my previous school is not being able to follow their journey. And I think when we did our youth work, you followed their journey from week one to the end of week four, and that was huge. And now I'll be able to follow kids from the age of 11 to 18, which is quite exciting. And seeing that change. But I think, you know, youth work and teaching does go hand in hand, to be honest. It just depends what angle you want to take, because teaching is a bit more, not official, that's not the word I'm looking for, but it's more, there is a lot more pressure on you as a teacher because you've got to hit certain things. Whereas the youth side, and obviously the youth work programme we did was all about building them, and, you know, we dealt with some really difficult young people and really give them some stability and something to aim for and something to achieve. And yes, I get that in teaching, and, you know, I teach in a school that serves some of the most deprived children in the area. So there is a lot of need there. I'm just glad that I can still do it, and I can do it every single day now.
Yeah. And are you excited for when this pandemic is over, you could get back into teaching and use COVID-19 as a stimulus for work?
Yeah, we're so obviously we're in one day a week, we've got to do drama. So me and my boss were talking about it, and we were like, right, what can we use? So we're going to do a coronavirus musical, we've decided. Bohemian Rhapsody's been rewritten for it. Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, so we're gonna do those. I don't really know how it's gonna work, and do like some kind of like frantic assembly, dramatic monologues of some kind. I don't know, but yeah, just making the best of a bad situation. But it probably will be in 10 years' time. It'll probably be a stimulus on one of the GCSE papers, which would be hilarious.
Yeah.
That we can be like, yes, we lived through that. Oh, those many years ago.
Yeah, I was saying to a friend yesterday, because they've got grandparents who are like 90 years old, and they've been not really like obeying to the rules. Like, they've been saying that, you know, they've lived through the war, so they can live through anything. And like, that's going to be us when we're like 85 years old. But, you know, I kind of talk about like stimulus in schools, because when I was in, I don't know, year 7, year 8, we had loads of newspapers about the 9/11 attacks. And, you know, we had to do lots of tableau work based around the stuff that we saw. And I think, you know, even though obviously this is a horrible time for the country and for the world, you know, everyone's really kind of like got, you know, conjured up a new sense of, you know, belonging, and being able to be as creative as possible through this hard time. And I think that will continue to work through, you know, Fringe Theatre and through London Theatre in years to come.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a drama teacher and as someone who loves theatre anyway, like I go and see you, and I did the Fringe last year, and I spent a lot of time in London seeing stuff. But I also save a lot of things. So a lot of stuff on social media, so Instagram or Facebook, I'll screenshot stuff if I see interesting pictures or articles and use it, because I think it's so important to keep up to date with the kids as well. And like it really dawned on me, actually, because I had to explain to Year 7 what 9/11 was. It hadn't even crossed my mind. And because one of them made a joke about it and went, oh, 9/11, pass it on. And I was like, you do realise what that means? And they were like, no. And I explained, and they look on their faces. And I was like, but obviously, you know, they're 11 years old.
Yeah.
So 9/11 happened nearly 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't know. So that something like that is not relevant to them. Whereas, you know, the Manchester Arena bombings, which I've used, I used last year with Year 10 with Ariana Grande, that was more because it's something they've seen. And I think it's so important to bring that stuff in, because it allows them to understand it, to express it. I think doing drama performances based on this idea of social distancing would be really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like with Frantic Assembly, for example, they're all about physical contact. Like, okay, well, how would you do that if you had to stay 2 meters apart? I think it's some really interesting, like, devising material there. And me and my boss have already talked about it, and we're buzzing. I think, you know, it'd be so nice to get back into a classroom. Well, not even a classroom, get back into the studios and actually practically do stuff, because it's so hard to be setting stuff for kids to do at home that's not all written stuff, and getting them to be a bit more imaginative and creative. So that's kind of where we're moving forward, because obviously we don't know how long this is going to last. I thought, you know, in part of me was like, oh yeah, we'll be back after Easter, we'll have a month off and then we'll be back in. But We just don't know.
Just tell me about how you would kind of approach that kind of work, because you'll have so many kids in your classroom. You will have so many different experiences through this, you know, pandemic after coming back. How would you kind of like work the room in terms of the kind of way that you approach new work that is based on stuff so recent?
I think the biggest thing with it is creating that safe space. And I bang on a lot about this, and starting my new school now, it's been a bit of a process to kind of build up that safe space. And that, you know, anything goes, really. You know, you're entitled to your opinion, you can express your opinion, and we're respectful. And that's something I really, really push. And I think doing stuff anonymously is quite good. So get them to write things down, mix it all up, spit it out again, and they use that material, works quite well. Not necessarily having to do stuff verbally, doing it, you know, with non-verbal communication and however they see fit, because some will want to do stuff, you know, really dramatic monologue. Some will want to do stuff recreating, you know, using mime what they've done at home, or literally just have them sat completely still for an hour because that's all they did. Putting the power in the kids' hands is something drama's so good at, and being a teacher, you can see that. And what's really sad is we were just coming to the end of the year 13, they were doing their devised piece, and it was due to be filmed next week for their exam. And I was off timetable with them last week to work on it. And, you know, they're so young and so full of it. And like, I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination. I think that I've still got lots of good ideas.
Yeah.
But talking to some of these guys and some of my year sevens and what they're creating, I'm just in awe, really.
Yeah, of course. And I think I'm really excited to watch international artists come over with their pieces of work, because we need to remember that different countries have had to put different precautions in at different times, like Italy and Spain, for example. And then obviously you've got the countries later on that have had to do lockdowns at different times. And I think, you know, seeing international pieces of work talk about, you know, actual times of the day where they've had to do their certain exercise, I think it's going to be a phenomenal time, obviously, in our lives, and the way that different people have had different experiences throughout the lockdown.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, even my experience, because I'm on my own at the moment, so my mum is trapped in New Zealand at the moment.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, so she was due, obviously, there a day ahead over there. So it's actually going to be coming into Wednesday morning, but she was meant to be leaving New Zealand today and landing back in the UK tomorrow. But Dubai have closed all their airports, and apparently New Zealand's going to go into lockdown. So she might not be back for another month, and she'll already be gone 6 weeks. So, and obviously my sister and my brother have moved out, and obviously my younger sister is up in Manchester.
Yeah.
So now we're obviously all on lockdown in our houses, so I can't even see my siblings, I can't have anyone round, so I'm just kind of rattling around by myself. So even that experience for me, I've been organising cupboards today. That's been it's just so ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, I'll organise the herbs into alphabetical order, like, honestly.
Oh, sorry, that's
so stupid.
But it's, like I say, though, you've got to keep yourself busy, because we don't know how long it's going to last for. So you could do them all alphabetical order this week, and then you could turn it around next week and go from Z to A, and just keep
moving
the tables.
Well. Yeah.
So looking at your youth work and your teaching then, Tiff, what would you say has been your career highlight so far throughout your whole time of education?
So in terms of a personal highlight for me, it would be I've won an award for outstanding trainee in Gloucestershire the year I trained. Yeah, so I won that in my training year, and that was a big highlight on a personal level. So, you know, I can talk about personal highlights I've had with kids, but in terms of my actual career, that was huge, because I do have a lot of self-doubt in myself, and doubting that I could even do this job. You know, I had a bit of a rocky road getting back into it, you know, and wondering if I could actually do it, because, you know, the teaching profession is relentless. You know, it's not spoken about very positively, and everyone said I was mad. to become a teacher. And I had the best year of my life training, and I worked so hard, and for it to be acknowledged with that award, which was lovely. So that's my personal highlight. But in terms of highlights with the kids, I have highlights every day. And I think that's the beauty of the job. No day is the same. You know, sometimes you have a good day, sometimes a bad day. And especially since starting at my new school in January, it's been very much, right, I've just got to take the little wins that I get each day. So that kid didn't swear at me, or that kid, you know, he told me to have a nice day. And you know, or he apologised to me, or, you know, she didn't slam the door. Or, but then, you know, I watched them, these performances, and these year sevens, they've learned their lines, they've brought costumes in, and they just like erupt on stage, and it's just so nice to see. And I think that's the highlight every day, is working with these kids. I think school productions are obviously a massive highlight, and obviously you came to see our production of Mary Poppins back at the end of January, which was so much fun to be a part of. And it's just, I love school shows, and I love doing school shows when I was at school, just that sense of family. And when you see that finished product, you're so proud, and it's like they're your children. It's a really, really weird experience. Yeah, I think those three things. But every day is a highlight. There really is. I mean, if you ask me, if you ran me every day and said, "Oh, what was your highlight today?" I'd be able to give you something. That's just lush, to be honest.
Yeah, and I just wanted to touch on Mary Poppins, actually, because at the time you'd only been at the school for a couple of months. So putting on a show that was from year 7 to year 13s, was it? What was that like in the directional role after only being at the school for so long?
So obviously it's year 7 to year 13, which is 11 to 18 year olds, which for me, when I was back at school, you know, you wouldn't even look at a year 11 if you were in year 7, because they were terrifying.
Yeah.
When you get into a school show, it's totally different. And I remember this when I did Oliver when I was in year 13. And obviously we had loads of like little year 7s and year 8s who were playing the boys in the workhouse. And it just brings the school community together so much. And like the year 7s and 13s, they'll sit together during rehearsals and they'll speak in the corridors and things. And it's really, really odd. But it's so nice that drama can do that and bring, you know, such an age gap together. And I think in rehearsal, because obviously it was hard, because I literally started and we had 3 weeks until show, and I was working, I was teaching all day and then staying to rehearsal until 7. I was doing it the weekends as well. But I think they love it. You know, if they're in the school show, they eat, breathe and sleep theatre. They just want to do it all the time. So you don't really have the behaviour issues there, but you do have, like, they get so overexcited. And you've got to try and rein that in a little bit. And I know I took some of the games that we did from youth work, some of the crazy campfire songs we used to sing to get them warmed up and stuff. And now it's kind of become my little signature thing, because for a lot of them, it was the first time they'd like met me. And I started doing this crazy, like, you know, dance routines and all sorts. And they're like, "Oh, can we do that crazy song?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, that's what I'm going to be remembered for the next 5 years." But yeah, it's just an absolute dream. And that's the other thing as well, is especially in teaching, in drama teaching, it's not just that you teach in the day and you go home. You have the extracurricular. So we work with the music department as well. So we have a choir. We're hoping to start up a band. Drama club on a Friday. We have 80 year 7s and year 8s that come. Huge, it's ridiculous, but they're so keen for it. And at the moment, all I'm teaching is year 7, year 8 from coming in new in January. So it's so nice to see so many of the kids that I'm teaching wanting to do more drama. It's very much alive in the school that I'm in, and I am very lucky to be a part of a very growing department, a very supportive school and headship and things that really see the value in the arts.
So Tiff, what would your advice be to listeners today who are looking to get involved in the industry but not necessarily sure which direction they'd like to take?
I think networking is your best bet. I think meeting and talking to people, you know, if you're interested in drama, you're clearly some kind of people person, and you need to be, I think, to be able to get somewhere. And I think whatever avenue you want to take, you know, get some work experience, talk to people, talk to your teachers, because if it hadn't been for my secondary school teacher, I'd have never have gone to the sixth form I went to. I would never have then gone to the university I went to. And then obviously meeting the likes of you and other friends of mine that are in the theatre industry. And I think it's such a lovely community to be a part of. But I think don't narrow yourself as well. I think I put all my eggs in the basket massively. And that's one thing I wish I hadn't done, because I finished my degree and kind of went, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm a bit of a loose end. And I think if I'd have done some other things as well that interested me, then I wouldn't have pigeonholed myself just into one career. Go with your gut. I think, you know, go and speak to people, see what's best for you. You know, for some people, you know, I did A-levels, but it's not for everyone. I did look at college courses as well. You know, even going straight into work, you know, getting a internships. You know, I've got friends in London that are doing that at the moment to get more experience in different avenues, and you can get yourself out there. You've just got to have the voice to do it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think networking is fundamentally the most important thing, and you know, just making connections. Look at social media, for example. You've got Twitter that has so many people, especially in the backstage area, who are more than happy for people to DM them and, you know, shadow people in productions and, you know, get advice. You know, that's so important. And there are so many other people who will be in that same boat. So I think, yeah, absolutely, you've hit the nail on the head there. Networking and making connections wherever you can, even at your local theatre, is so important.
Where's your stagey place?
In my drama studio at school. I think, for me, that's where the magic happens. That's where the future is. That's where these kids that are going to come through, you know, and they're going to be the next West End performers. They're going to be the next designers, the next directors, playwrights, whatever. That's where they're going to come from. And I think it'd be so nice that, you know, hopefully in 20, 25 years time, when hopefully I still look as good as I do now, I'll look back and, or I'll have a kid that gets in touch and be like, oh, I've just won an award for best actress, you know, thank you so much. And that would mean it all, I think, for a kid to live out their dream. And then I was a part of that. But I think, yeah, my drama studio at school.
Yeah, and actually, I think you've just reminded me of a time a couple of weeks ago. I was reading a tweet on Twitter about a lighting designer who, when they were at school, they went to go and see a production at the RSC. And they're now a, you know, freelance lighting designer. And they invited, for their press night, their drama teacher from that school to come and watch the production. It's like a thank you. So I think, you know, that is kind of like the top, like, gratitude you can do for a teacher that had once taught you. So hopefully in a couple of years' time, you know, or in a couple of decades, when your students are in the industry, hopefully they'll be able to repay you for the thanks that you gave them in class.
Yeah, I think I had that on the youth work stuff as well, and you got to the end of the 4 weeks, and, you know, the way some of those kids thanked you so much. And I know, you know, there was one young person in particular who went on to do the international version of what we were doing. And I remember she messaged me and she was like, I never would have done it if it wasn't for you. Like, you know, I've got confidence now. I didn't know I had. And you think, oh my God, I've touched the life of a young person in a way that I didn't even think was possible. I was just myself. I just thought I was doing my job. And that's what I do every day. And I think, you know, I'm there to do a job. I'm there, you know, yes, okay, you know, to get the grades and stuff. But for me, it's more about, you know, giving these young people an experience to remember and, like, look back and think, you know, their crazy drama teacher who made them do all this weird and wonderful stuff, and, you know, the benefit it had. Because there's stuff that I did when I was at school or when I was at uni, and I look back and I think, oh my God, it was so stupid when I did that. But it's stuff you remember. And I think that's what makes childhood so great, is the stuff you can look back on when you're like our age now and you reminisce. You know, I don't remember a lot of what I did, but I do remember a lot of the crazy stuff I did in drama, which I'm now doing now with my classes. So it does come full circle, which is nice.
It's amazing. And Tiff, I just wanted to say also thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I can't wait in the future to potentially come and watch your latest coronavirus musical.
Yeah, watch this space. It's going to be a moneymaker.
A And there we go, that was episode 3 of The Stage Replaced with this week's special guest, Tiffany Winters. If you've enjoyed what you've heard in this episode, you can leave us a review on Podbean, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Until next time, with our special guest Spike Hart, I hope you have a lovely week and I look forward to hearing from you soon.